Good morning, everyone. How are you? Here we are, another week being church online. It's been another week of changing goalposts, hasn't it? There was a point this week where, if I'm honest, I had to give myself a little talking to and remind myself who was really in charge. It's God, Louise, not Boris. I reflected on a verse from James that says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We've come to the end of a series looking at our identity in Christ. And today I want to say something fundamental about God's identity and character. Today I'm thinking about the faithfulness of God. One of my favourite hymns is, Great is thy faithfulness. It reminds me of the essential character of God. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. The man who wrote that, Thomas Chisholm, apparently had a really hard, hard life. His favourite scripture verse was from Lamentations, which says this: because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And it was as he was pondering and reflecting and meditating on that, that he wrote that fabulous hymn, Great is thy faithfulness. He was certain that as his spiritual discipline, he should continue remembering what God has done. He apparently said this: I must not fail to record the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he's given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I'm filled with astonishing gratefulness. He kept on remembering the faithfulness of God. And I think that's really important, especially when the circumstances of our life all too easily draw our eyes and our souls away from the faithfulness of God. So a question for us this morning to think about. And if you want to answer it and pop your answer in the comments, do feel free to do so. If you had to write a list of how God had been faithful to you in lockdown, what would be on your list? Have a ponder whilst we're going along and pop that in the comments. What would you say of God's faithfulness to you at the moment? So that's what we'll be thinking about. And Dan read us our story from Joshua chapter 4. So some backstory. The Israelites had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses, their leader, had died, and Joshua was now in charge to lead them into the promised land. 40 years of traveling and waiting, and the end of the journey was on the horizon. Even though the land had been promised to them, they would still have challenges and testing, obstacles that stood in their way. And the first obstacle was a physical one, the Jordan River. In the previous chapter, chapter 3, the Israelites needed to cross the river but couldn't because it was at flood stage. And so God tells the priests to step out in faith, literally, and dip their feet in the water. An odd request. A slightly odd thing to ask a bunch of priests. Roll up your robes, go have a paddle, and then you'll be able to cross the river. An odd, fairly simple request. Would you have done that? They are obedient, and the water further upstream stops. It's a miracle. And all the Israelites are able to cross the Jordan and onto dry ground. God asks them to step out in obedience and do one simple thing. and he answers them. So after that, we come to the passage we heard earlier. God tells 12 men to pick up a stone from the dry riverbed, to carry their large stones and set up a memorial to remind the people of his actions, of who he was and what he's done for them. To set up a memorial so he would not be forgotten. We're all in the habit of forgetting things, aren't we? So throughout the Bible, God is consistently reminding his people to remember his faithfulness, his character, his actions. And that's an important thing for people of faith to do. Right from the beginning, God is telling his people to remember. Remember what I have done. Deuteronomy 6:12 says this: be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of slavery. Those 12 stones were a reminder of what God had done for his people. Don't forget, it was I that brought you out of Egypt, that divided the Red Sea, that fed you manna in the wilderness, that parted the Jordan River. It was me that brought you to a place of victory. We need to be a people who remember what God has done for each of us, for our church, for our families. And in our passage today, the people of God were called to remember God's promises, his covenants, and his action. He promised to bless them and be with them. He promises them three things: his presence, his power, and his provision. Don't we love a bit of alliteration? All the way through scripture, again and again, on every page almost, we hear God repeating his promises. His promises of presence. Genesis 28:15 says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I am with you. You have my presence. That's repeated numerous times in the Old Testament and even more in the New. I am with you. In the Old Testament, through pillars of fire and smoke, I am with you. That was their story. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is with us. Do you know that? And do you believe that? That God is with you, that his presence is alongside you, that whatever you have to face, whatever life is throwing at you, and I know that's really hard for some of us at the moment, God says, I am with you. I am sticking by your side like Velcro because I am faithful to you. Never will I leave you or forsake you. Jesus makes the promise at the end of Matthew 28. I'm with you always until the end of time. That is fairly definitive. Our God is with us and he is faithful. He promises his presence and he promises his power. And God's power is an unlimited power supply. Simply put, there is nothing that God cannot do. Luke 1:37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. God has all the power and authority. All the priests are paddling and God stops a river from flowing. In human strength, that is completely impossible. We can do nothing of that magnitude unless we spend months building a dam. Yet there is nothing that God cannot do. The one who sets the stars in the sky, who stills storms, who heals, who makes lunch for thousands out of virtually nothing, who raises people from the dead after 3 days. Let's remember, we have a wonder working God alongside us. Do you know that? Do you believe that? And remember, something very similar had happened before. Crossing the water on dry ground was becoming a bit of a habit for these people, reminding them of what God had done earlier on in their story, helping them cross the Red Sea. God was calling them to remember, as they looked at those stones, that God had power. So he was reminding them of his presence, of his power, and of his provision. God had provided for them in amazing ways. He was a sat-nav for direction, being a cloud of fire and a pillar of smoke. I do need God to do that. My sense of direction is appalling. He provided food by providing first manna in the desert. And when they all whinged about that, he provided quail. God had patiently and persistently met the needs of his children. Every detail he covered. I love this verse in Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, which says this: "Yet the Lord says, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet." That is actually a tiny personal miracle. I am 47 years old and no pair of shoes I own has lasted that long. They were called to remember that God was in the everything, in the actual shoes they were wearing on their feet. Every detail he had covered, so that they would not forget that God was with them. We forget so often that God's hand gives us so much. We must remember his provision. The Israelites were about to enter the promised land that was flowing with milk and honey, and the temptation was to forget who the provider of all of that was. And I think we have a habit of doing that too. When we're blessed, sometimes it's easy to take our eyes off who the blesser is, because we're hopelessly self-sufficient and we think that everything is ours because of our hard work. When you're in a place of blessing, it's easy to forget the source of blessing. I praise God that he provides. And I know that there are times that I have been provided for. Maybe you can name those times too, when God has stepped in just at the right moment. The people are called to remember by setting up stones as a visual reminder of the journey that God had taken them on. A visual reminder of his presence, his power, and his provision. We have visual reminders of the journey of God's promises being fulfilled for us. And the first is this: the cross. We don't need 12 stones now, because we have a stone rolled away. The cross reminds us how far God goes to come through on the promise that I am with you until the end of the age, that I am faithful. The cross reminds us of what that looks like in a life laid out and given to buy us back from the penalty of lives that are not lived for God. And another visual reminder that you probably have in front of you now: bread and wine, which we'll be sharing a little later on. Reminders of what Jesus does for us on the cross, of what he physically goes through, a broken body and blood shed, to provide a way to call us children of God. We don't need 12 stones anymore, because in a way, we are the stones. 1 Peter 2:5 says this: "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So in the Old Testament, we have physical stones as reminders of God's faithfulness. But in one way, we are those stones right now. Our words and our actions as Christ followers show his goodness and his greatness. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this: "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." If you know that God is faithful, who are you sharing that with? Today we're reminded of the faithfulness of God. And some of us need to particularly be reminded of that today. None of us can be certain of what the future will bring. We do not know what is round the corner. Perhaps for us personally or for our country. Will Wirral go into local lockdown? I don't know. I hope not. I don't know, but God does. And whatever comes our way, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Corona can't. Cancer can't. Catastrophe can't. You are loved by a God who can't do anything but be loving. And today I want to remind you that he is faithful to you, and he will always be faithful and with you. We are reminded by those 12 stones, by the living stones that we are, by the cross and by the bread and wine, that whatever life throws at us, we are to look to God so that we will not be overwhelmed. We're going to sing about that now. As we prepare for communion, we're going to remember once more the faithfulness of God. Kath is going to lead us as she sings, "God, I Look to You." Let's praise him now.